Hello and welcome back, listeners, to the Dual Screens Podcast, the world's number one indie dev interview podcast in the world. Probably, maybe, definitely, you be the judge. Joining us this week is Yuri Camp, game designer over at Code Glue Games, developer of Van Helsing, a retro shooter where you play as the last surviving vampire slayer facing the hordes of Dracula himself. Yuri, welcome to the show. How's it going, man?
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's doing good. Good. It's a bit warm here in the Netherlands, but very glad to be here.
Yeah, we were just talking before we pressed record about how much I miss the Netherlands and Amsterdam and the red light district and all that fun stuff from way back when, in my crazier days when I used to drink my body weight.
I gotta say, I also miss the States, like having some nice snacks.
Now listen, if
don't make them like that.
If I visit you next year, if I get to Amsterdam and make my way to Rotterdam, we're gonna get drunk, right? We're gonna go drinking at some point.
Ooh, yeah, that would be sweet. Let me know when you're in the area.
And you're gonna buy, because your game is gonna be a huge mega success. You're gonna have a yacht and a plane and a mansion.
I hope so. That's the dream.
You're gonna host me and all this
for
stuff.
Sure, for sure.
So let's get into it. Van Helsing. There's a demo out now on Steam. I've been playing it nonstop. It's super fun,
awesome.
Super crazy. I love the shit out of it. Tell us, what is this game? Give me your pitch.
Van Helsing. Yes.
Yes. Do the marketing thing.
The marketing thing. Well, it would have been better for me probably to have it prepped.
No. Off the cuff. Let's see how good you are.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. So in Van Helsing, like you said, you're the last surviving Hell Slayer, fighting off against Dracula. You have your cursed shotgun and a grappling hook and a bunch of movement mechanics to achieve what we like to call shmovement, very smooth movement. And you have to make your way constantly on the move to stay ahead of the bats. And it's a high score shooter, so you're attacking your own high score and hopefully also the high scores of your friends to settle who is the best Hell Swinger.
Wow. I would rank the lowest on that list, because it's a very known thing about me that I can't do mouse and keyboard well at all.
We hope this brings controller support as well.
And I was about to beg you for that at some point during this interview. So yay! Yeah. I'll suck less.
We had to cut some corners to get the demo out in time and stuff. So, but yeah, we definitely want to be able to give it like some accessibility features like that, like make it available to as many players as we can.
So why just the shotgun? That's the only thing you get in this game, from what I imagine, right? Just you and the shotgun, the grappling hook, and it's mainly about the parkour movements. Why was that the weapon of choice and the only weapon of choice this game?
Well, I guess we have like a marketing answer to that, but I think the more fair answer is I love Doom. Doom Eternal with the shotgun and the grappling hook, like that just worked. So Van Helsing started its game as under a different name. It was named Gunslinger. Mm. But then we were afraid Stephen King might be pissed off, so we had to change it. But yeah, as Gunslinger, it was a 1 week game jam that we did internally. Mm-hmm. We have like two game jams a year. They last a week. Everyone gets the pitch, everyone in the whole company. And then if your pitch is chosen, a bunch of people will like hopefully join your project and you get to make it. And for Van Helsing or Gunslinger at the time, I did the pitch, and my pitch was I want to focus for a week long on making movement feel as good as possible. So I will take something we know works, a shotgun and a grappling hook, bunch of enemies, we don't have to figure that out, that'll work. Mm-hmm. And we'll just like put a whole week into making that movement feel as good as we can, make the gun feel good. And yeah, a shotgun is just like one of those like stereotypical guns. You just want to feel that beating your chest every time you fire it. You want to, yeah. So it was like a gun that we could make feel really good. And then that worked pretty well. So yeah, we just kept it at that. But as we move forward, like we might like start introducing new characters who might have new weapons, go sort of more of a character select route where you, yeah.
So this is your baby then. This is your child. Yeah, this is... your
Oh,
thing.
me and that initial team, I guess. Like
Uh-huh.
I did the pitch, but as soon as you pitch something, it's no longer really yours anymore.
Right.
People start to chime in, and that's like what I love about making games, right? Like it's this, everyone gets to bring up ideas and you sort of mold them all together, and it sort of starts to evolve and change, and it becomes this really cool collaborative thing.
Where did the whole vampire Dracula aspect come into play? Like, was it just born out of it can't be just a gunslinger thing? We have to move away from Lest You Feel the Wrath of Stephen King, or where did the whole vampire piece originate from?
During the game jam, I had no artist join my team, sadly. Like another pitch caught their attention and they jumped on that, and that was all cool. And so we searched for an enemy that was easy to build without an artist. So we used an asset pack for that, and that was a bat. And then that became sort of the whole thing. Like, well, we'll just lean into that. Like, why is it a bat? Well, you're the last known Van Hell swinger, and you need to go through it. So, and that was like a very easy enemy because it just like it floats, so we don't need to do walking simulators or simulators, walking animations and stuff. It's just always flapping its wings, it's always going. And then when we after the game jam, when Code Blue decided to pick it up internally and work on, well, the demo that you have now, the artist did join the project, and they were like, that ugly bat needs to go. And yeah, they took that whole concept, and yeah, they just ran with it, like made it come back in the graphics design and the visuals of the level. They tweaked and tailored, and they made custom models for it and everything.
I'm just saying, like, Castlevania is doing some stuff with their IP. Like, they were in the Dead Cells recently. You could definitely, I would say, at some point, think about it.
Get a Beaumont in there.
Yeah, get a Belmont in there. That would be totally badass. I'm just
That would
saying,
be awesome.
put that on
I
the
love the
list of things to
series.
do. Do you think it helps or hinders that there's a pun in the title of your game?
I loved it. Like,
I know, me
I'm a bit
too.
sad that I didn't came up with it. Like, so we had the whole thing. Gunslinger, Stephen King might come after us. We need a new name. And I suck at names. Like, naming things is always not like Gunslinger is not the most innovative name. No, but someone came up with, I think it was like a longer pun, like Van Hell's swing again, or Electric Boogaloo or something like that. And then we shorten it. And it was just
Stupid.
like immediately after, everyone was like, yes, Van Hell swing. Like it encapsulates so well what the
Yeah.
game is. You're Van Helsing, but you can swing. So yeah, it was amazing. We have had people who said like instant download on the name alone, and then we've had people that said like the exact opposite. They were like, I would love the footage, but the name I just can't. So
Oh,
it's
come on, the name is everything.
I don't know. We don't want those. No, we do want those
We
players, I
don't want those people.
guess. No, it's yeah, some people don't like puns, I guess. I don't know.
So describe the moment-to-moment gameplay. What are we doing in this beautifully, by the also the art in this game is fantastic.
It's
It's like
crazy. Yeah, it's
there's like pixeliness to it, but it's like 3D models. It's like retro boomer shooter vibes. It looks incredible. So describe
thank
like
you.
what are we doing in this well-crafted, well-designed world we got going on here.
So you have a bunch of movement mechanics, right? So you have a wall run, a wall jump, a double jump. You can shotgun launch yourself. You can charge the shotgun to shotgun launch yourself even further. And you have, of course, the grappling hook and a dash. So it's a bunch of things there. What your main goal is to stay ahead of all these bats that are ch chasing you. You also want to kill them, because if you don't, then eventually there'll be so many bats that you're in trouble. So the moment-to-moment gameplay usually is you're charging your shotgun to like sort of line up a good shot to kill a bunch of them at the same time. Use your grappling hook to either gain some distance or get closer, like really play really aggressive. And then usually you want to stay in air as much as possible, because as long as you do that, your speed will sort of you'll be less, there's less friction in the air, so that doesn't make sense from a physical standpoint, but it is more fun. We also have a bunny hop, so if you like land on the ground, you immediately press space, you will retain your velocity. So you usually want to be either on the wall or through the air or on the ground, like sort of bunny hopping along, and that's what you mostly want to do. And then we made the level circular, so there's this nice flow to it, so you're always sort of circling back on that horde that is chasing you, and you can really use your momentum to get up higher, fall, which will generate momentum. So there's a bunch of stuff there that you can do. As long as you keep on the move, and we've tried to design the level in such a way that as you get better and better at the game, you will find new routes in it. Where if initially you're just sort of jumping and a bit, and you will have this very clear route that is very clear in the level design, but then you start to weave in like a shotgun jump, and suddenly you get like up on this platform, which you can bunny hop off of, and then you can grapple, and you can have this whole higher route that'll feel nice, hopefully. And then we have like some floating walls that you can use, tag along with the wall run. So there's this sort of flow that we try to get the players in where they're just nice and bouncy and feel really cool. And then, yeah, you also want to keep coming back to that sort of blob of bats that is trying to chase you from all sides. And yeah, make sure you whittle them down.
Yeah, because it's the parkour elements remind me of a game like Ghost Runner in a sense, but then this has the verticality element to it, which I hardly see like in an FPS like game like this, where you're using the environment to scale, to go up and down and to dodge and use it as it's like a huge part of the gameplay aspect is maneuvering around like the floating pieces of debris and buildings. How did you guys design the world to like best fit the gameplay of Van Helsing?
That's an interesting one. Like we, for the longest of times, we had a very square, boxy level. That was what the game jam had, and it made sense. But the game jam didn't have a wall run. Like there's a bunch of stuff was missing, and so I was struggling to design a level that properly took. Because honestly, we had play tests internally, where people would the best strategy. We had a pretty cool inner level with the wall runs and everything that worked pretty well. But obviously, the best strategy was just run on the outer wall that was encapsulating the entire level and just stay there because that's the longest circumference and no real obstacles, so it's really easy to do. And that just broke the gameplay flow that we wanted, and everything just sort of pushed them towards that. And then in sort of a brain genius move, I deleted the walls, and suddenly it was like, hey, you know what, this is way cooler. Like, because I tried all these things to make the wall less interesting, but that just sort of pushes back on what the player wants to do. That doesn't work and makes the game less fun. And so we deleted the walls, and then it was like, all right, now that square shape feels a bit odd. And it's just a lot of, yeah, iterating with playing the level over and over, finding those routes, meshing them out, and yeah, really iterating on, yeah, what is like the correct speed to go at, what is fun, because yeah, we don't want the player like the way the demo is designed is you will be playing this level a bunch, right? So the level needs to have like a certain growth to it as the player gets better, but also needs to yeah slot into that gameplay that we expect from them. Like it needs to lead them. So we have these curved walls that sort of shoot you down these corridors that are already like very nice and easy to wall run on. So you'll have these cornerstones that feel really nice, and you know from your earlier runs that'll work. And then from there on out, you can start exploring, yeah, more new routes and yeah, play around with what you can and can't do.
Speaking of the demo, what's the response been like from fans playing this game for the first time and experiencing it on
It
your end?
has been so cool. Like we had a little giveaway where we internally came to the sad realization. So we were like, oh, we're gonna do a giveaway because we have the high score and a share. We want to see if people actually engage with that. And so we had like, oh, we'll make a cool statue from the game and you can win that. But then we came to the sad realization, like, oh, well, you know what, if that's gonna be like a bunch of money if we buy a graphics card, there's probably more people interested in that because no one knows us. So a statue of a game that no one knows is a bit weird.
I'll take
So
it.
sadly
I'll take a weird statue of a game no one knows.
I also like the statue we had. It's basically the statue that you see in the level of of Dracula, who's like on that round enlarged thing. Like we had that made. But yeah, we ultimately chose for a graphics card. But so we had a bunch of people fighting over that graphics card, getting higher and higher scores, which has been really cool to see. But also just people saying like, "Oh wow, the visuals, they're so cool!" Like has been amazing. The level be gelling, or just in general, like the gameplay gelling with people has been just super cool with people. Sort of why you make games, right? Is to have that feedback, hear people say, oh, I love it. Oh, this reminds me of Titanfall 2's movement, or oh, we need more of these
Really? I
retro
never thought
shoot.
of that before. I could see that. Most
Yeah, the
definitely. That's
Titanfall
high
2 was
praise,
like,
yeah.
yeah, it was a big inspiration for us along with like Doom Eternal. and a bunch of like our old, like we always internally we had the vision of we want to make a game that plays the way you remember those old games playing, but not necessarily actually playing, because Doom 1 like plays like shit. Like if you couldn't even free aim, right? So we want to give you that feeling of playing that game, going that hard, but with like all the modern, yeah, sort of touches to it. So it should feel old but not play old, sort of is the, yeah, the vibe we went for.
How do your internal high scores compare to the scores of the fans playing the game? Is it like, is it more on the player side or more on the internal side? Who's scoring better
I
between those
think
two camps?
internally I held the record for the longest time with
Okay.
90K, but then the person who actually won the graphics card had a score of 200K, which ultimately beat us. I haven't been like I've been trying to get past 100K, but I haven't been managing it, and they
Oh
somehow got
man.
200. That's been insane.
Now, what would you give to the lowest scoring person on the
A
leaderboard?
lesson.
Right, so I'm free next week. We'll put some time aside for you to come by.
Yeah. Do like a live stream.
Listen, once you get that controller support, I'll be smashing
You'll be
200K like
unstoppable.
no way, unstoppable. But what was the key feedback you took from the demo in terms of helping you development wise and getting this game to a more complete state than it is right now?
Think the big thing for us, and we did discuss this internally, but seeing it in action always sort of confirms some things. We didn't have time for a proper tutorial, but we do see that that is really lacking currently. Like people obviously don't know all the mechanics yet, because we only have like a little screen that says, oh, you can do all these things, but it's like way too much for someone who just starts, right? Like have a bit more of a curve there that helps people on their way and let them feel cooler sooner. And with more guidance, I think it's going to be a big focus for us moving forward. And we're also like still toying around with what the final game will need to look like, depending on how much time we'll actually get to work on it. Which is it, like making games is not, or well, making games is, but making original games is not our main bread and butter at Codeloop. We are mainly a porting studio. So we port pretty much everything from everything to everything. Like we're a very versatile studio with an amazing technical team. But making on the side, we still want to make like our own IP and get that to sort of, yeah, that's what we all dream of doing, right? So we have the stuff that pays the bills, and on the side we want to make yeah, our own stuff. And I was fortunate enough to work on, because it's like developed with a relatively small team in a small time frame. Like we did this with about 5 to 7 people. Like people rotate on and off. But the core team has been about that. And then in 5 months, we took the game jam to this level of polish, which has been super fast. I'm
That's
really
really
proud of
nice.
that.
I like that how you guys are able to, you have like your primary source of revenue, like the porting aspect of your business, and then it allows you to host like your own internal game jams. And then if a fun idea just pops up, it's like we can just pursue this on the side as we all do our day-to-day porting jobs. Then a fun new IP comes out of it. And then, hey, now you're like making your own stuff, making your identity in the indie game world. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. In the past we worked too long on it. Like our past project for that took about 3 years of internal development time, and we had to shelf it, which always sucks. Like it's always a big bummer. So this time around we tried to decide something new, have like about 5 months, develop it, throw it online, get player feedback and see if actually people are interested, right? And that's where we at now. We're sort of evaluating now, like what is going to be the future of this, because we did have like a cutoff point, like hey, we throw it online, we'll see what people think, and then we'll have to, yeah, reflect and see is there something there, not that not only we feel like but other people as well, or is it better to start on something new, invest elsewhere. And yeah, we need to have those conversations in the coming weeks, but I'm very pleased with the feedback we've had so far. Like a lot of people managed to sort of grasp what we were trying to do with the game, like have this sort of hardcore retro game that focuses a lot on movement, which is already like a big win to sort of make. Yeah, it's very hard to have a design, but then also have it connect with players that they without like being prompted, right? You just give it to them, and then they say like, "Oh, this feels like Titanfall 2, but retro styly Doom vibes." And then you're like, "Yeah, that's exactly what we wanted you to feel."
I look at a game like this, it's very minimalist, and I can imagine that it's hard to avoid like a scope creep because you can just add like you can add a story, you can add characters, you can add like you know five more weapons, and it's how do you avoid like that part because you don't you want to keep the spirit of what this game is and what the fans love in the demo. How do you avoid like overblowing it and making it bigger and then they get shelved like, you know, 2 years down the road.
Yeah, that is going to be hard, I think, because we initially the scope was already smaller than what we ended up releasing, and we were sort of cut off at a point because at some point we were like, oh, we want to do the boss and this fight, and they were like no, we need to get it out there because
Stop
otherwise
it.
it'll, yeah. So it was already like we already sort of crept up to that. Currently, I think our focus would be to find something that we feel is worth the money. Have a rounded off experience and then start adding to it because it is a very powerful thing that you have a game that you can grow into something that is much bigger than its initial launch. And that is something that I always like if games do that. Like I look at games like Risk of Rain that just added a bunch of stuff after launch that keeps it fresh, keeps the community engaged. That is the sort of stuff that I would love to be able to do, that if it actually picks off. Picks off, kicks off, and people really like gel with it, right? If the community is there to keep working on it, that would be amazing.
Oh yeah, you definitely have a foundation to build here because again, you can add in so many things to this. You can do like special like seasonal things with it. Again, boss fights would be a lot of fun and still keeping like what the game is all about. The whole high scoring parkour retro shooty vibe will never go away,
Yeah.
which is great.
And yeah, an enemy variety as well. We have like I think
Yeah.
like a 6-page document currently, which is just brimming with ideas. And if we look at that, then we'll probably add like another 6 pages because you can do so much and add so many enemies down the line as well, right? Just
I mean,
very endless
you're
variation.
talking about Dracula here.
I mean, yes, everything.
Is he going to be in the game? That just should be like the boss fight. After you had a million points, you fight Dracula. That's it. That's how you do
I mean,
it.
that's the dream. So we have the statue of Dracula, and the reason that statue is there is because we actually made the boss fight for Dracula, but we had to cut it because it was getting too big. So we had the model, we had started animations and stuff like that, but we had to, so we just posed him and made him a statue, so at least he's there in the demo. But like it's like we were pretty
Wow.
close of actually having the fight, so
My
having him in
God.
there would be cool. And then yeah, we also have like a bunch of other additional enemies, which like we have a hellhound that you also see statues of in the level. Those are really cool because they're blind, they have these big ears, and then as soon as you land somewhere they will start to
Oh, that's
chase you.
so cool.
So yeah, we had a bunch of stuff in the works that sadly we didn't have time to actually put in there, but yeah, that'll be really cool.
Dude, you can't just say because Dracula in this environment with this gameplay would be fucking disgusting. You can't not do this. You have to put it
I hope so. I hope we get there. That will be sweet.
What have you learned as a developer when putting this game together? What was like your biggest lesson?
Our biggest lesson, I think, was internal communication. We are very known to communicate well on our porting projects. We have a very solid pipeline for those, but developing something that is not a porting project has a lot of overlap, but also some things that are uniquely different to a project. And then every project has its own quirks as well. This one had just a rotating cast that was, yeah, because people would have like a couple of weeks between projects, they would rotate onto us. We had to do some onboarding, some offboarding. So a lot of communication needed to happen that necessarily didn't always happen. And then, yeah, stuff got lost in the mix. Like I said, we overscoped certain things, like went too long. Which is always like what you're not wanting to do. Like everyone knows of the classics of, oh, yeah, now we're 6 years into development and still not done. No one wants to do that, but it just sort of sneaks in because you have all these cool ideas, and every new person also brings their own ideas on board, right? So, yeah, sometimes
I'd be that guy just holding shit up all day long. Like
It's the game, and then someone
I have 10 new ideas that I want to throw into the mix. What's the
And
roadmap
that's
here?
always tough because
Yeah, I can imagine,
the roadmap.
Yeah, what's the demo's out
So
now.
roadmap
You got your
internally,
feedback.
like from what I can say. Yeah, so the internally we're going to at least sketch, and it's gonna be two different versions of this game. One that is on the lower side of a budget, and then one that is on an upper side of a budget. And then we'll sort of take it from there to see, like, hey, is this viable? And then, yeah, what that budget will entail is like what sort of shape the game will take.
Is there
Land
like
that
a
will have, and
planned?
then, yeah, we'll take it from there.
Is there a planned like release window you guys have in mind?
No, not at all. Currently, it's sort of on pause as we internally like are navigating the waters to sort of see where it needs to go. So everyone has sort of moved on to, and we're super busy as well. So the ports could really use the help internally. And so yeah, that is unfortunate, but the way game dev often goes, right? Like you have to pause, but you don't want to pause, but it is for the best to make that decision, not rushed, and really look at what our options are. And yeah, then take it from there to explore what it could be.
Well, don't wait too long because this game looks
No.
amazing.
No, for sure.
You can't just take it away from me. You can't just have it out there
Mean,
and then now it's
if it were up to
gone.
me, if it were up to me, we were already like working on it again, but it's not often how it goes, sadly.
Right. Man, game dev is a mystery. Oh
Yeah.
boy. So before we dive into our rapid fire portion of the interview, one last thing about Van Helsing. What do you want players to feel when they walk away after a long session as they shotgun blast and grappling hook their way through this nightmarish abyss through Dracula's hordes?
I want them to feel hopefully satisfied that they beat their previous score. And I want them to feel really cool that they like a good session of Hellswing should like leave you a little bit sweating, a little bit like sad that it's over. Like you want to dive in immediately again, right? But it should feel yeah, a bit tiring, but not in the moment, but afterwards you're like, oh, I was breathing heavy. I didn't notice that. So we want to really sort of scoop players up. Take them to like this spot where they feel challenged, but also sort of exceeding their own capabilities. And then when it all ends, then you feel like, whoa, I want that rush again. And you just immediately dive back in.
And I have the gameplay on a loop during this whole interview, by the way. I just want to order like a case of Mountain Dew and pizza and play like the second I get off this call with
That sounds like a
you.
good evening.
Or a good, morning, whatever. It's
Or
fine.
a good
All
morning, yeah.
right, Yuri. It's been a blast talking about the game. It's all very dope. I can't wait for you guys to actually finish this thing and get it out there. But now it's time for rapid fire. We're gonna learn more about you as a human being and all the things that make you tick. So,
Sounds good.
this is always a favorite question of mine. One of your coworkers or a significant other or a parent gets a phone call in the middle of the night. You've been arrested. You're in jail. What crime did you commit?
I probably should not say that on record, but probably attacking some billionaire.
Oh my God.
We get a chance.
Oh my goodness.
No one should be that rich.
Well, that's how you fund your next game.
Yeah.
That's how you fund all your games. Just attack a billionaire. No one should be
That
that rich.
or helping a friend hide a body. But they
Man,
caught us.
I don't know if I say it because I'm not a billionaire, but if I had $1 billion, I'd give a lot to my friends and family.
But
Within reason.
then you're not a billionaire anymore, so that's good.
True, yeah. Maybe it's screw them then. I'll keep it all for myself. I've had multiple billions of dollars. I'd give some away and retain my billionaire status.
I'll drop down to millionaire status. Let everyone have a bunch. Maybe end world hunger. That'll be fun. Have that behind my name.
I would just spend it on a bunch of useless shit. You have no idea. I get that Dracula statue like as a fountain in the front of my mansion. this is actually a good one. This could reveal a lot about you. I want you to think about a game that made a really deep, lasting impression on you, video game. If you could erase the memory of having played a specific game and play it all for the first time and relive that, those emotions, like when you first played that game, which game would that be?
Oh, that's easy. That would be Outer Wilds.
Oh, man, like, I've heard that before.
That game is so insane. Like, I often, like, look up Let's Plays of that game just so I can sort of live through those moments, through those people. No, that would be... I would easily wipe that from my memory and play it again.
Man.
The game's insane.
I love how that's, like, also a recent game. I dig far back in the memory log when I think about games of, like, replaying and, like, revisiting. But that came out fairly recently, like, in terms of, like... the decades of gaming that have spanned throughout our lives. Yeah. And I love how a game that creative and that left that effect on people came out in recent memory. That it was like creativity still exists today. It didn't go away like 10, 20 years ago.
And for the longest time, Portal 2 was like my all-time
Portal
favorite
2,
game.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Like, the co-op campaign is really cool. The single player is so much fun. So such a unique game mechanic as well, right? Like, so simple, but yet so deep. Like, you can do so much with that. But then Outer Wilds came along and just blew that out of the water.
Man, I used to watch, like, all the Portal 2 dialogue scenes at work when I was bored. Just on a loop. Fucking Cave Johnson.
Cave Johnson. Yeah, Portal 1 was really cool, but the story
it was
tiny. And then Portal 2 just made it so
really
much
went
bigger.
With it, yeah.
That was amazing.
Would you rather be the smartest person in the room or the funniest person in the room?
The funniest. I'm never the smartest. I don't think there's that much to gain there. But the funniest person, you get the laughs. That's always good.
Now,
put down a good fight.
Of course. I'm hardly either. That's my downfall. Let's take Castlevania out of the conversation. So we're seeing a lot of classic retro IP being handed off to indie devs lately. Like, you know, again, Castlevania, Dead Cells, Silent Hill, a lot of, like, indie devs handling that. If you could choose any indie or any retro franchise that needs a new sequel and you were given the keys, like, hey, Code Glue, make us a brand new of this. Blank check, all the budget you could imagine. They just robbed the billionaire in the streets. Which franchise would you pick?
Oh, that is a tough one. I would love to work on an Age of Empire game, but that's not really retro anymore, I guess, because they recently came out with the newest one. Whew. What kind of cool retro game? Did they recently make a new Roller Coaster Tycoon? I could work on that.
Have
that
it?
Would be dope. I don't know.
What would your take on that franchise be? How would you make it different? What would the Code Glue fingerprint be on a Roller Coaster Tycoon game?
Like, I love distilling games down to their essence and making the experience faster, because I feel like all games have grown into this thing. Like, with Starfield that comes out soon, they said, like, oh, it's going to be a billion hours to play it. Like, I don't have the time. I just don't. Like, I much rather have a session of 10, 15, 30 minutes or an hour and be able to play something like that, or like a 10-hour single-player game instead of like 100 hours. So I would probably dive in and distill it to its core and then take it to Retro Town. Like, really look at those first two Roller Coaster Tycoon games, what made those tick, and lean into that sort of fun, creative side of that franchise.
Yeah, then you would jump from cart to cart with a shotgun blasting people.
No, it would be all about, like, putting people into an unfinished roller coaster and launching them into orbit, stuff like that.
What is the dumbest way you've ever injured yourself?
Oh, Oh, that one, that's a fun one. I am what is the English word for that? So after we're done eating, like you have like a tablecloth and you have to like you
Oh
have
yeah.
to get rid of the crumbs. So we
Correct,
go
yeah.
like go to the front door and throw it out, like wave it in the air a couple of times, that'll
Sure.
get rid of all the crumbs.
Yeah.
And we have a night light above the door. And so I flung it up real high and then it got stuck, and then I smashed the light, like the cap of the light, onto my own head, severing like I had a like a big jab behind my
Holy
ear, and it was
shit.
like pouring blood. So I had to go to the ER, and the ER was like, "Oh, what did you do?" And I was like, "I was just getting rid of the crumbs, and then I smashed myself on the head with a light." It felt really dumb, but also, yeah, that's what happened.
Wait, was it like, how old are you when this happened?
I think like 20, 22, something like that.
And it was like at your parents' house, like around the dinner table. You just had finished eating dinner.
Finished dinner, like we cleaned the table, and it was like, oh, I'll take it out, and I'll just felt really vigorous about it, so I did like a very big clap, and then it got stuck with
How
the
do you
light.
walk back into the house? It's like, hey guys.
They heard like everything shattering, of course.
Oh my
So
God.
they came and they were like, oh no, there's blood everywhere. I'm like, oh really? Because it hurt, but it's sort of, I don't know, like it hit me, but you don't really realize it until after a while. So it hurt, but not like severed, almost your ear hurt.
Your pride was what was hurt the
Oh
most
yeah,
in that
but
situation.
it's a good tale to tell. It helps.
How many stitches did you need for that?
I think like four or something like that.
Not so bad.
No, it's
Not so bad.
what wasn't the worst. It's more like it was so dumb. Like I never thought about it as well. Like that you could hook the cloth and then slap it down on yourself. It's like I don't even know how I did that.
Oh Lord. What is something that you are terrible at that you wish you could do better?
Oh, coming up with names. Like naming functions and code, or just titles of games, or new mechanics. New mechanics that I introduce are like just whack. Like the name is whack. Like it's like, oh, instead of shotgun jumps, the best I could do, because it's a shotgun and it jumps you. And then someone will come up with like a way cooler name that entitles it, and it's like, yeah, that's why didn't I name it like that? And it'll make my life so much easier as well, because if you like typing code, like I just have like the dumbest function names, and then every time like programmers look at it, they're like, "The fuck is this? Why are you doing this? What does this do?" And like, well, it's a charge gun. It charges the gun. Ooh, oops.
There you go. See,
There he goes.
that's how special Yuri is, kids. He just turns off his camera in
Turns off his camera
the middle of
mid rant.
the interview, talking about how dumb he is. He just turns off the camera.
It'd be like that. You gotta demonstrate. No, but I like have a charge gun function, and they'll be like, "No, you can't call it like that. It's not descriptive enough." But it charges the gun. Makes sense to me.
Well, again, I think that's all part of how you distill things down to their core and their essence. It's like,
Yeah.
what else would you call a charging thing functions? Charge shotgun or charge shot, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
I have a similar issue because at work, I work in events and I'm always tasked with making up goofy names for like summer or like seasonal special cocktails. So what I do is I go into ChatGPT and I ask for recommendations, and the answers are so stupid, it actually sparks my own creativity.
Oh,
I'm like,
that's a nice way to do
I could do better than this robot.
Teach those robots.
So again, that you could try that. It's a good little experiment too. All right, this is a fun one. What word best describes you when you've had too much to drink?
Probably loud or giggly.
Yeah, that sounds about
The
right.
volume just slightly goes up and up and
I
up.
see that. I see you being a very fun drunk. I can't wait to visit.
You should totally visit.
Oh, I have to now. Like, listen, I'll rob some billionaire, and I get some airfare money, and
Oh, yeah.
I'll see you
Flee the country.
soon.
Lay low in Rotterdam.
Oh, why not? Yeah, from, you know, all the crimes that we commit. This is a classic one. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
I was always a strong no person, but then recently I
Mm.
tried it and it's actually pretty good. It's not super for me, but like live and let live, you know?
Yeah, it's
So it's
terrible.
gonna be a no, but a soft no.
That's a soft no.
A soft no.
All right. And then finally, let's get a little deep with this. If you could go back in time and tell one thing to your younger self, what would that one thing be?
You're gonna grow up to make games, bro. You gotta do it.
Pretty awesome.
That would be awesome to tell my younger self.
Did you always want to make games as a kid? Like, how did you like even come across like this as a career path, by the way? This is a
So I had a
great question to ask at the end of the show.
write that down, write that down. No, I had a very weird path to games. Like I grew up wanting to be like a teacher, and that sort of changed when I got into classes and saw what teachers had to do, and I was like, no, that's not for me. And then I was just basically clueless, but I loved playing games and being on the computer. So I got into graphic design because that was a thing where you would work all day with a computer. So I did that for 1 year, and then that year was like the last semester you would your own game, and I was really looking forward to that, and then they scrapped it. But all that time I had been like learning it myself together with some friends, and then my mom was like, well, you know, there's actually a school that just does only that, like you'll be a game developer. And I went there, like I did an intake and I got accepted as an artist, and I did the whole 4 years there to become a artist. But over that time I found out that I really liked doing environment art, and then in environment art I actually started to care less and less about the art side of things, but just more of the level design started to be more and more intriguing. So at the end of that I figured like I want to be a level designer, but I was done with school, but I hadn't really done level design. And so I did a follow-up on a university that where I was just like super focused on like being a level designer. And then
Nice.
I did that for 4 years, and then I worked together with some classmates. Like we made our own game for 2 years until we ran out of money. We did the whole indie lottery thing where we thought we had something really, really cool. A game called Ride of Ilk was a we worked back in that day. We worked in Unreal Engine 4, but when it was still like not free, you had to pay 10 euros a month to get the source code. So one person would pay it and would give it to all of us. And yeah, we worked on that game. It was a co-op action adventure game built from the ground up for co-op. So there was no single player, it was just co-op. So I could go really nuts with all the puzzles and the mechanics, really enforcing that bond between two players. That was really cool. That was a really cool project that sadly we didn't have enough money to finish. And then I ended up at Codeloop, where I get to work on all these cool games from other people, where you learn a bunch of stuff, you get a peek behind the curtain, and all those games have their own unique challenges, which makes the job very varied, right? You can like look into one game, and then the UI is a mess, and in other games it's like the controls that you need to juggle with. So it's never a dull day.
That must be fun from like a coding aspect, like seeing how others like put their games together. Like it's a different kinds of games you're porting over. So it's like free lessons in a sense. You're learning
Yeah.
so much from other
But I
people's
have to
work.
say, like, I'm not a programmer, so I'm not on those projects in that sense. But from what I've gathered, is that the games that are super well made don't end up needing a porting company. So it's usually the games that run into some sort of issue, which is, I mean, it's super understandable. You have like 50, 100 people working on a game for a couple of years. Stuff gets mixed around, but then you're stuck in this weird position where we think, oh, you know, this game should be easy to do, should be run on a Switch. It looks like it should easily run on a Switch. And then a year later, you're like, we can't do it. This is too much. Like, I don't know what they did, but we can't get it down.
Have you had to like say no? Like, we can't just do this. It's impossible to get your game on the Switch.
I think we've had to drop platforms in the past, but
Oh,
you
wow.
our vetting process is pretty good. So usually, like, we know what to look for. We know the quick wins and we know the less quick wins. So we will just look at a project and see, like, hey, what does it hitch up against? And we'll dive into that. Just not, we're not fixing it because that will take a long time. But we can, during that initial scouting procedure, we will look at, like, hey, what is it? What are the big bumps? And how, from experience, we know how easy that will be to fix.
Got it. All right, Yuri, that's going to take us to the end of the show. Thank you so much, man. It's been a lot of fun chatting with you this
This has
morning.
been amazing.
It's been
I loved
great.
it. Thanks for having me.
Everyone out there, please, please go and download and play this game right now. It's on Steam, the demo. It's a lot of fun. Yuri, give us the whole marketing pitch. Where can we find more about Code Glue, about the game? Give us all the information.
Yes, sure. So follow us there at Van Helsing. At Van Helsing, well, Twitter thing. We're not Sky. If you have a code, shoot us a code in the DMs. I've been trying to get there. Yeah, we're a small indie studio. We have like five people working on this. So if you want to support smaller indie devs, which you probably want if you're listening to this awesome podcast, then
Oh.
give us a follow. You can find us on Steam or on Itch. Both are like Van Helsing. Throw it in Google, you'll get there. And yeah, this has been a blast. Thanks for having me.
Of course, and we'll have all those links below for you guys to check out. So thank you,
Awesome.
Yuri. Everyone, please go play this game. It'll change your life in a good way. Waiting on that controller support any day now. I'm gonna be bothering you about that every day of the week until that happens. And until next
That's
time,
fine.
listeners, thank you. And as always, please be excellent to each other.